Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trifles Podcast with me, the number one member of the Trifles Podcast.
The number one jabroni in the land. It's Lewis Brindley, everybody. He's back once again for another podcast. This has got to be like our millionth podcast by now. Like, this has been going on far too long, honestly.
Who knew? The secret is we just say the same old shit.
True.
I realized. I realized last week.
You guys want to talk about global warming today? Or
I'm going to say 20% was rehashed stuff.
We're due a climate change chat, aren't we? Like, it's been a while.
No.
Okay. We'll think of something else.
I had a fucking great weekend, lads.
Nice.
A great weekend. I went out into London 2 days. Back-to-back days.
Wow.
And one day I went out and we saw a friend of ours, and then I met up with some other mates of mine who live in London, went out all day, like got pretty drunk, went out in the evening, had dinner and everything. And then the next day me and Mrs. F went into town and had lunch and everything. And it was just, it's fucking great to be out and about again. It really was.
Like, yeah, yeah,
really,
yeah.
Really, it was great. It was great.
Especially with the sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
I did the same. I had a really nice time, went out. Went to a place I hadn't been to before, you know, had some experiences. Wow. It was like the whole world has opened up.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone seemed very happy. A lot of happiness.
Hey, on over here on Monday, no more masks, baby. We don't even need to wear them anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Strip them off.
Yeah.
Get naked.
Oh, yeah.
Free the chin.
Yeah. You only wear them on buses, apparently. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
So still
if
gross.
You're going on a bus, you got to wear a mask. But otherwise, you don't have to wear a mask anymore on Monday, which is really good timing because I'm getting my second jab on Friday.
Oh shit! I've got mine coming up.
I got a weekend to fully immunize, and then come Monday, no mask and be out there pissing and spitting in other people's mouths and everything. Oh, it's gonna be awesome! I can't wait.
I've kind of gotten used to wearing a mask. I'm kind of it feels quite comforting and closing. Like I feel like I'm like sealed off a bit from the world. Like also the other thing is, I noticed this guy. He posted like he was like, I cycle to work every day and I have this mask. It was in Bristol. And he has like, it's not like a full face mask.
Is it one of those ones with the air filter stuff on it?
Yes, it's got the little hole in the front.
Oh, right,
the little pollution filter. And man, he was like, after 10 hours of use, and it was like a white handkerchief that turned into like a dirty, like 6-month-old grey dish rag.
So bad,
I mean,
I was like, I couldn't believe how much like pollution you breathe in every day.
Yeah, like when surgeons use those masks, they wear them once. Like, I don't think they're designed to be worn for like 10 hours at a time and then washed. And, you know what I mean? Like, I think you got to wear one, like, you know, maybe like one for an hour or something.
These are ones like with a little plastic frame and they have like a replaceable filter in. Oh, so they're a little bit higher than the standard ones you see in the street. Yeah, I mean, I think like it's pretty common to. In fact, like it made me think, fuck, if I'm cycling around in town, I should be wearing a filter because I used to cycle around a lot and I was thinking of getting up again.
It's crazy. I mean, when they bring in, what is it they say that there are all kinds of cities promising that they're going to be electric car only and stuff like that. And there's a whole bunch of hoo ha about, the fucking environmentalists are taking over. If you can't look at the rise of things like asthma and not accept that there is a lot of air pollution and there's a lot of asthma in kids and it's fucking awful and you're breathing it in. Like, if you could just show people like that, I breathed in one day.
No, so I'm going to stop you there. In my local paper, there was a really interesting article submitted by a reader of the paper who said that this is simply just a natural warming cycle of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's a scientist or not, but it sounded believable to me.
He sounds like a scientist.
He seems like he knows what he's talking about. So I'm just going to have to disagree with you there, Flax.
It just happens to happen really, really quickly.
It's a natural warming cycle of the earth and nothing else to worry about.
to be positive, though, I think actually in city centres, the pollution is certainly, you see it apparently in China as well, like the city pollution, they've really made like leaps and bounds to get rid of it. I mean, it's still bad, I'm sure.
Where'd you hear
cities,
that?
But, well, I
in
saw
my
a thing.
Local paper.
I saw some pollution submitted. I saw some charts on like pollution charts on Data is Beautiful or something on Reddit, and it was really interesting. Like I'm sure it's city centre pollution's been going, but it's still bad, obviously. So I mean, in a positive note. And in a negative note, it's still there, but it's getting better. I am taking this approach now.
I'm staggered that people are against cleaning air. Why wouldn't you want cleaner air? We all have to breathe it. It's crazy to me how you could say, oh, no, just...
A lot of people have been fleeing the cities, actually, in COVID, like because they realized that...
Well, because of the zombies.
One of the big advantages... Well, one of the big advantages...
you don't want to be in the city.
Well, one of the big advantages is all the pubs and clubs and bars and all that stuff. That's like a big allure for people living in slap bang in the middle of town.
Allure. Oh, the allure of the city, the pubs, allure.
Yeah.
The clubs, the park bench where you watch the man pooing into a McDonald's container.
oh, man. So too close to home. That's too close to home for me, but... I don't know. I'm glad that things are relaxing. I'm glad that people are thinking about getting back to normal and stuff. But I'm also interested in some stuff I've been reading about people not wanting to go back to work in offices and stuff.
We discussed this
at length before. We all know how we feel about working in offices, but it feels like there's almost like a mini revolution now. People are like, no, I don't want to go back. I don't want to have to deal with you people anymore. Like the weird silo power builders and stuff like that. Like they're the only ones that want to go back because that's their whole life. They're so sad. But most normal people who have a life don't want to be around those people all the time. I say keep them home. If you can work remotely, why the hell not? Like it's a lot better for everything. Right?
It is.
Yeah, I love it.
For everything.
I think that I know that there are people at Mrs. F's place that have moved way out. And they sort of keep having these meetings where they're saying, so how often do you want to come into the office? And everyone's like, once a week. And they're like,
I'd be happy living the rest of my life without ever seeing you again, to be perfectly honest.
That's what they're thinking.
Obviously, it's specific to certain industries. And there are a lot of people out there who have to go in.
Sure.
And it sucks. But I know people who at the start thought, oh, this is going to suck. And now they realize... I never want to go back to work. Like, why would I want to go into an office?
Why the hell would you want to? Why would you object to that?
But I did also read another thing on the internet there.
On the other hand.
Oh, yeah.
That said that it might be bad for people's sort of promotion prospects within a company. If you're not in the office and some chuck in sales is in there every week.
Written by
can
a guy
get another
who
cup of tea,
just,
Mr. Dawson? You know,
he
like
probably
that.
Just spent $50 million on a new office refurbishment. So he's like, he's getting in there early. Well, counterpoint to that argument, he's sweating, he's like mopping his brow, just ponied up a lot of money for this office. A counterpoint to your argument, young man, is...
yeah, that's it. Like, you know how much your sofa costs?
This costs a lot of money, Buster. I don't know if you'll ever see this kind of money in your life, but geez.
You know what, I would like the idea of someone who'd refurbish the office and liked it so much that didn't want the employees messing it up.
Oh, yeah.
They just had this beautiful office. It was all beautifully laid out.
Yeah, stay home, guys.
Yeah, don't come in. And they're just lounging around.
He's got the whole
perfectly
place to
tidy office. Yeah, that would be good.
I think it's probably a mix, isn't it? I think that is probably a factor because it is whoever gets chummiest with the people who are in charge who gets, you know, the edge, isn't it? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I was thinking about that. And I was thinking that's kind of a... That's like the way people get promoted in movies where, you know, they're in the right time at the right place. Like in Big, when Tom Hanks just bumps into the boss. He goes, it's good for the boss to get knocked on his ass. And then And then he gets up and he says something to him like, oh, your toys suck and I can invent better ones. And he's like, And then he just says, hey, come, why don't you sit in on a big meeting with us with all the executives and talk about toys? It's like, that doesn't really happen. Like, the idea that your manager is so fucking clueless that they're not actually looking at the work you're doing and the productivity and, you know, all the other stuff, and that they literally, the only way to get promoted and to win their favor is by being there and saying the right thing. Fuck off.
I mean, you're right.
It didn't traditionally happen, but ever since people watched the movie Big and then grew up to then become big time hotshot CEOs themselves, that was something that stayed in their mind. So nowadays, that is something that can happen, right? Because they have that idea plant, that the seed of the idea planted in their minds. So
that's exactly how people get promoted. Is you just happen to
go
be
in
there
and you say that your toys suck and I could do better and. You just enjoy swimming in your bathtub full of money, baby. Like, that's awesome.
I always thought promotion was this sort of bizarre concept anyway, right? Because most jobs, I mean, I can think of a lot of jobs, right? Where
can you? Name three.
Getting promoted means you don't do the job anymore, right? Like, if you're a teacher, you're teaching people.
Yeah.
You know, you then get promoted to, I don't know, head teacher.
Right. That's a nice jump.
You end up teaching less.
What about deputy head teacher? That's got to be a good job, right?
I don't remember the deputy head teaching very much.
There's like head of year. Either. I think in a larger school you might have head of subject. So, or maybe that might be a university thing. Like we had,
so
there was a head. There was a head of our year.
Do the same.
But you need people that can manage. You need people that can manage. Management is
important. It's not this kind of 10 or 20 rung system of promotion. It tends to be like you are either a person doing a job, or you're either a junior, like shit, like a noob doing a job badly, or you're the guy doing the job, or you're like a senior guy who can tell the noobs how to do their job properly.
Noobs.
So I mean,
that's what they call them.
It doesn't feel like there's like this, I don't know, like this idea, this Hollywood idea of, you Johnny's done well in the tack company. Let's promote him to chief tacking officer.
Right.
So it's like, where does it go from there? Ah, you finished the tacks. I'm going to promote you to carpets. It's like, it doesn't go to like...
Are you questioning the structure of every business? Is that what this
so.
Is?
I think so.
He's figured out. He's gone in and he said, your business sucks and I can do better. See what I mean? The seed's planted. That's it. That's what... This
it
is
worked.
The power play that's happening right here, right now.
I suppose once you're in that bureaucratic, that's why I feel about mangling.
You should do a talk garbage. Where you put the word bureaucratic up and they're like, someone puts their hand up. Yeah. Sorry, questions are at the end, but can I help you? And they're like, yeah, it's bureaucratic. And you're like, is it? Or is the system broken?
Man, you get up on the table and you go like, more like bureau crotch it. And then you go honk, honk. You grab your junk. No?
TED Talk is taking shape. But no, like I don't know whether that still exists outside that the realm of just a bank that has just too many layers of management going up to the stairway to heaven. You know, it's just everyone's a vice president or an executive.
That's very American to have a load of vice presidents.
Yeah.
I know a lot of firms have that.
Vice president of sales.
In charge of coffee.
That's a good one.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying that when you promote people who are doing really well, they're no longer doing that work that they were doing really well, and now they're doing something else.
And that's not good for them.
No, but they can also say, I'd like to keep my current responsibilities. But for example, you might have a system, and I know a few companies like this, where you do get bumped up and you're still doing that work, but now you're also expected to do more work.
Yeah.
Like you're also expected to do project management and stuff like that. So the thing is, if you have someone doing a fairly simple job, shall we say, and they're doing it well, you might expect them then to be able to not only do their job, manage their job, but also be able to manage other people. And like, you want that, because that's sort of like in Hearts of Iron, for example.
Oh, right.
Hearts of Iron 4.
Now we're talking.
You've got your generals. Yeah. You also have like the field marshals, right, who have generals underneath them. And all the benefits from the field marshal go down the line to all the other generals. So if you're really good at doing your job, you can go and help people out and suddenly they become better at doing their
job. Yeah, you train them up.
That's the system, right?
There's something to be said for people who do the same job for too long as well, right? There's definitely some complacency. There's probably a little bit of resent maybe some bitterness. Like, I'm not targeting like older people or whatever.
No, I don't think that is it.
There's certain people that have been in their jobs way too long and need
to change
up. But
they were never good to start with, right? I think people who have been imagine you start as, okay, let's do a proper promotion structure.
Okay.
It's a pub,
right?
Okay. You get a job in the pub as a dishwasher. That must be the worst. All right. Or the guy who, what's worse than a dishwasher in the pub?
The guy who has to clean the toilets and the floors.
Yeah. Okay.
Cleaning the toilets and the floors.
Clean the toilets, right. So you go in as a toilet cleaner and they're like, man, you cleaned those toilets, spick and span. I'm promoting you to dishwasher.
Oh, thank you.
So now you're dishwasher.
How much more do I earn?
This is actually like a repeat storyline in EastEnders, by the way. This whole process that you're going
right.
through, cleaning
and
the pub.
And then he gets demoted
then,
back to toilet.
And then you get to serve the pints.
Over the
stuff.
Course of 3 years, they're owning the Queen Vic somehow, yeah. and the calf, and the arches.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. See, this is the process, isn't it? So, yeah, then it goes from dishwasher to...
And the fruit stall as well. And like, the clothing stall. There's the clothing stall too.
I love the things that you need in EastEnders world, because you never see, as far as I remember, you never see yeah. someone just going to the supermarket.
Where do they
they're
get all their
going,
DVDs from?
I don't know, like, where do they get their DVDs
because
from?
Because they're always going on about how it's time to watch a DVD because there's been some upset, but like there's no DVD stall that I know of in the market.
Maybe there is.
That's where they do all of their shopping, clearly.
When do they mention DVDs?
All the time. When they're
really?
Like, oh no, you know, Dot's had an aneurysm. It's okay, love. Put on a DVD and open a bottle of wine. That's it. That's the line. Every time, it's always put on a DVD. Maybe it's changed. It's been a while since I watched it.
Yeah, I'd say maybe 15 years. I haven't watched an episode. When my mum's up, she watches it. She watches EastEnders, Emmerdale, Casualty. What else does she watch? I think she watches Coronation Street.
If anyone's in touch with these soaps, do they mention like Amazon Prime?
Yeah,
do
yeah.
they mention Bitcoin? Like, what do they talk about?
That's had an aneurysm. Ah, oh, well, love.
Bitcoin price is plummeted. Yeah. She's buggered.
she loved those cryptocurrencies. She fucking had Monero. She was into Cardano. She was buying them all.
Ian Beale convinced her to buy Ethereum, and it's just plummeted 50%.
You my bet.
It's like strangling him.
Everyone's in the Queen Vic. Something getting you down low. The price of Bitcoin's down 15% this week. I'm going to have to sell the calf. Boom, 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 boom.
Cheer up, love. Put a DVD on.
No, it's a Blu-ray now.
Oh, this DVD says that this Blu-ray says how to get rich with Bitcoin. It's making me feel worse.
Yeah, what a show. Man, what a show. I don't know if you guys probably haven't really watched any of that stuff. Casualty, especially since the lockdown, since the pandemic. They've been filming throughout. It's been not like as regular as it normally would be. But one thing that we've noticed in Casualty is that none of the actors are within 2 feet of each other ever.
Whoa.
So if there's
how are
like
they
a,
doing any when the doctor's having a poke at them? Is he doing it like with a little broom with a scalpel?
Well, I think
it?
They do like these weird camera angles.
I think he's
and
dead.
Stuff. So like the doctor looks about 3 times bigger than he normally is, but you see the back of him. There's like a lot of that. And then same with intimate scenes, like with kissing and stuff. I think they've been like close up recording like people kissing like their loved ones, and then they sort of like cut that in like to the kissing scene.
Oh
so
man!
Yeah, because like well, I guess you know they don't want to get the Rona, right? So they have to like.
But surely they're all getting tests and things. I mean,
I would have thought so. I mean, it's probably not like that now because of like the easing of restrictions and whatnot, and you know people getting vaccinated and everything, but. For a while, like it was kind of noticeable. It was pretty funny. Like, I mean, I guess they had to or whatever, but it was good. It might have just been old, like you know, stuff that was recorded like early on, sort of thing. That's just only now being aired, like after it's been edited or cut up, but it was interesting. It's funny.
That's funny.
Speaking of weird medical stuff, for the friend of mine who has had the magnet installed in his finger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know who that is. They said on Twitter now, by the way. They posted a video of themselves picking up a paperclip. Well done. Okay. You got a superpower now, buddy.
So they have been doing...
Wait, do we know this person? Is this somebody...
I don't know them, but...
You might not know them. They're a friend of mine. Anyway, they have been doing cold showers, right, every morning, and extolling the virtues of these cold showers dramatically.
You haven't tried this, have you? Because it's really awful.
Well, he made it sound like it was the fucking best, the hottest
but
shit.
But Lewis, he has a fucking magnet in his finger. Yeah. So my point is, what do they know?
Well,
what do they know? If someone had a horn implanted in the middle of their head and said to you, it's really handy, I can hang my hat on it when I need my head free, like, would you listen to them? Just because they have done one thing that you think is bonkers, when they do something else and also say this is amazing, it's also bonkers.
He's trolling you. He's got to lower his body temperature or, like, there'll be problems with the magnet. So he has to have a cold shower every day. You don't have a magnet, so you don't have to have one. So I wouldn't listen to him, honestly. Like,
so this is
a waste of time.
This is what he said. So I've been doing ice cold showers, started off with 30 seconds a few days ago. Now I could do 2 minutes comfortably. It's
to what
really
end?
Good.
This guy's not washing properly.
I recommend everyone tries it. Just 30 seconds at the end of a hot shower. Feels like I've had a shot of coffee and adrenaline. First time in my life I've felt so energized and happy.
How long does that last, though?
Well, 30...
For the whole day?
Yeah,
30 seconds.
For the whole day.
He's worked his way up to 2 minutes of happiness per day.
I want you to try it for the next week and report back on the next Triforce about how cold you got.
I tried it this morning.
Okay.
Okay. Just because I thought it would be an interesting thing to talk to you about. I turned it on to ice cold. I went... I started like hyperventilating. I had to like dive out of the shower. After I only lasted like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's
I'm not
fucking
even joking.
Cold.
Okay, but did you just have a normal shower after that to like properly wash and stuff, or is that you done?
So I had my regular shower, and then I flipped it to freezing cold at the end.
So when your body's got used to being warm,
yeah. I mean,
you're then whacking it on max cold and freezing yourself.
I bet you
yourself.
That water wasn't even that cold. It was probably just like normal temperature, because I'd imagine that you create a sauna in your bathroom when you have
it. It's like having the plunge pool, though. You remember them with the icy plunge pools that they have at swimming pools sometimes?
Yeah.
Like where you go in the hot jacuzzi and then you plunge yourself in the ice.
They have
cold
one at Center Parks, and I jumped into it and my son was like laughing his head off. He just thought it was the funniest because it was actually super cold.
I know, but the thing is with that, you made a choice and then you have to deal with it, right? Whereas in the shower, you could always just move out because you know it's optional. So there's a lot more willpower to like force yourself to stay in that fucking thing.
So fit a lock in
mechanism. I couldn't do it.
Do you ever have those lapses of like, you know, when you kind of go on autopilot, like, you know, sometimes you just put your like toothpaste on your hairbrush and stuff like that. You know, like the things you do every day, you get used to doing them. Sometimes you like mess them up because it's just like your brain's not paying any attention. Do you ever do that one where you get into the shower but you've forgotten to turn it on and like warm it up for a couple of seconds before you get in, and you have to then turn the shower on while you're in it, and the first like 2 seconds is like super cold water and it's annoying? Do you ever get that? No,
I always turn it on first.
You always like do it first. You never
forget. That's my habit is I turn it on from outside. So we got like a sliding door, and I reach in, turn on the shower, close the door. Sometimes I'll use the toilet and then go in the shower, because that way I know it's ready to go and I can get nice and clean.
The toilet is definitely something which makes the shower go cold for like...
But I don't
like
flush the toilet until after I get out of the shower.
Yeah.
Well, so what if someone else is flushing the toilet in there, you know?
Well,
if someone else uses the
shower, if that happens,
no,
then
the
fair enough.
Bathroom is occupied at that point, then nobody else should be in there doing anything.
That's how I feel about it as
too.
Well.
I'm not into
but
that.
Not everyone,
I don't want to see anybody pooping or peeping.
Not everyone I've lived with feels like it's okay.
Yeah, they
like,
bother
me. He's in the shower. I could just go in there and use...
No,
yeah,
you can't.
It doesn't bother me at all, yeah.
It doesn't bother me, but look, no. I feel... I don't bother other people when they're in the shower, though. I don't go flush the toilet when they're in the shower.
I do.
I'm not that kind of guy.
I'd rather than go down... Like, we've got a downstairs toilet, so probably I'll use that
you
one.
You do.
But at the moment, I'm just like, I need a wee. Do you mind?
The guest toilet.
I just plunged them into freezing cold. Yeah, I'm happy with that. No, so apparently you're supposed to like take a deep breath and like slowly exhale and like just then once you're over that initial shock, it's quite apparently like something you can do. And then, I mean, I remember like taking a cold shower when I was really hot, you know, like when you're on holiday or something.
It doesn't
hot,
work
you,
though.
It's boiling, you go and take a cold shower just to cool off a bit.
Yeah, it doesn't really cool
it
you
doesn't
down
work,
that much.
But it doesn't feel bad. You certainly don't want to take a hot shower when you're really like overheating.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, God, it was some. It was so fucking icy.
It's been
this
hot this
I
week.
Can believe it.
It's going to be hotter next week. This week I've done a lot of. I mean, I'm still going to the gym, and I've been doing our garden.
Yeah,
we had the garden done. But this week, the big thing was spraying the sealant on the stones to sort of gives them a nice, deepens the color a bit, protects them and all the rest of it. And so I've been doing that over the last couple of days, moving all the stuff around and everything in the heat, sweating. I've enjoyed it. It's actually nice to just be doing stuff. It's quite satisfying.
I got some potatoes growing now. They
How are you supposed to do it?
The shoots have come through. They burst through the earth at the top of the buckets. And it looks like all four seedlings are now going to make me a whole bunch of potatoes, which is exciting. Mm, wow. My kids were super
very
excited
cool.
too, yeah.
So here's one thing. You haven't planted them like in the garden bed.
No.
Okay, that's good.
Got big, like, I got two big 40-liter buckets.
Okay. You got a bed in the garden?
I filled them up with compost. Like, I put, like, maybe, like, a couple of inches of compost at the bottom. Put the seedlings in, like, where, like, the little, like, you know, seedling bits are, like, face up. And then I covered the rest in compost and then just watered it every day for, like, 2 weeks. And now, boom, it's all growing. It's getting there. Man, you should see this stuff.
We planted some potatoes in the back bed one time.
Yeah.
We were getting little potatoes for years.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
they just never go away. You'll just keep getting little potatoes. Because when you harvest them, you'll miss a couple. And then they'll grow into potato plants.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Just continual stream of potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a disaster.
We've had the same with strawberries. Like, I planted a whole bunch of new stuff in a pot that had strawberries in it last year. And the new stuff has not grown. And we now just have more strawberries. Like, all they've just regrown, like, tons of them.
That's nature. That's just the power
it's incredible.
You know, this is what happens.
It's incredible.
You know. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Long time no see.
This week's podcast is sponsored by Manscaped.
Manscaped!
Oh, no way. Not again. These guys and their ball grooming. I mean, come on.
Don't forget, Father's Day is just
that's
around the corner.
Right.
And nothing says, I love you, Dad, more than a world-class
kids,
grooming
thank
kit.
You so much. I love you so much. By the way, I shaved my balls today.
that's right. You heard that correctly. The Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped is the best body hair trimmer on the market, and all dads could do with a trim. It offers precision, engineered tools for your family jewels, and you can get 20% off and free shipping by going to manscaped.com/trifles. Don't take a freezing cold shower while you're trying to shave your balls with some half-assed razor blade off your girlfriend.
No.
Use Manscaped's proper stuff. They've got like lovely powders and sprays and all the stuff. I've been using them. They're great. It's a top recommendation from us at the Trifles Podcast.
Give your balls the Crufts finish.
Yeah.
They could be good enough to display at a dog show. Oh, is that a miniature schnauzer? No, it's my cock and balls. Manscaped.com/trifles. 20% off with free shipping if you use our code manscaped.com/trifles. On with the show.
Did you hear about this creature that they found frozen in ice? That lived for like 30,000 years.
Wow.
And then it's still, like, it defrosted and it's still going. Like, it's pretty nuts.
What is it?
What are you talking
called?
About?
I will try and find.
Is it like a little mouse or something?
No, that would be something. No, it's like a little, it had a weird name. Rotifers.
The what?
They're called. It's a creature you would never have heard of. It's called a rotifer. I'll try and find the article that I read about.
So it could live for 30,000 years, or
it was asleep essentially. Here we go. 24,000 year old microorganisms found frozen in Siberia can still reproduce.
Wow.
So this is a microscopic worm-like creature. So not that interesting.
No.
But they've been around for millions of years. They never have sex. They're all female. They just reproduce.
Yeah.
And They had one in ice frozen in the permafrost in Siberia for 24,000 years, carries on making new Rotifers. No, and they're super resistant to everything. Radiation, dying, starvation, low oxygen.
Why did they thaw this thing out? Like it was frozen for a reason, probably.
This
and
was
now
the soil cryology lab.
We're done.
So they just found some out of dig.
We've opened Pandora's box. We have. It's over.
Yeah, that's actually the end of the article. We have opened Pandora's box. God help us all.
God help us all. What have you done, you fools?
End transmission. That's the last they heard from the scientists. So yeah, God, who knows?
It looks like a little shitty thermometer or something. It just looks shit. Is this the first thing we've cryogenically unfrozen, basically, ever?
No.
Wasn't there like a mammoth one time?
It was dead though, Sips.
Oh, right.
There's a difference.
Oh.
This is alive.
Right, so it's a zombie is what you're saying.
I'm saying...
We've zombified a bacteria.
No, I'm saying that this was frozen, and when they unfrozed it, it was still alive and carried on reproducing and living its life. The mammoth had been dead a long time and was frozen.
So and is not alive.
There's no live tissue on him whatsoever.
Indeed. The mammoth is dead.
He's dead.
Yeah. Sorry to report that to any mammoth fans
out
there.
Definitely dead.
I'm a huge mammoth fan.
I just noticed, there's on the problem page on this article I'm reading, there's obviously they've had a message from a Triforce fan. My girlfriend and I are extremely happy together, but she told me that two of her exes had a bigger penis than me. P.S. Love the podcast.
Oh, shit. So I've been out in the sun, and there was a bunch of Triforce random people who came up to me and told me they had a tiny penis. A couple of different people told this to me in the street.
Never gets easy to receive that one.
No, it
never
gets easy to hear. I got a small dick. Jesus, why are you telling me this? I don't want to know this.
I just sort of smile and nod. But no, they're very nice. I met a couple of very nice, very smartly dressed, very nice people.
Yeah.
One person asked me for a shout-out. I said, we're not going to do shout-outs to his mum, Lisa, because that's the policy of the Triforce podcast.
There's no way we could ever possibly do that for your mum, Lisa. I mean, that's...
Yeah,
so
tell your mom, Lisa, sorry, but that's just not the way that we roll.
Yeah, we would never say shout out to that guy's mom.
22
Lisa.
Coventry Lane.
That's not a thing.
West.
That's what I told him.
West Bishopsgate, Lisa.
Yeah, and
no, sorry, we can't.
I met some nice people. One guy was a maths teacher, teaching kids. Another guy was another teacher, and I was like talking to him about it. And I think one of them said that apparently kids have lost 100 hours on average in the lockdown. And that didn't sound like much to me, actually, because I suppose 100 hours in a game to me isn't very long at all.
No.
Jeez, you're still a noob in Dota. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like barely enough time to, finish Gone Home, which I did finish this week, which is okay. But yeah, like 100 hours of I suppose it depends, doesn't it? Like maybe that's what 100 hours in maths is what he meant. But I don't know. Like it still seems like a lot of how long are kids in school? 5 hours a week? Still a long time.
Five hours a week.
Yeah, they usually just go
5 hours
for
a week.
The
4 weeks worth.
They pop in for lunch. Yeah, no, it's like 6 hours a day.
Yeah, it's a long time, man. It's like it's more than a full time job.
So no, it's less than a month worth of school that kids are behind, apparently due to lockdowns, which I suppose is pretty bad. But yeah, I think it's okay.
I think countries are dealing with this differently, though. I think that like in the Netherlands and like Finland and Norway, they've pledged something like, 500 per child or in some cases more. It's like £1,250 per child to get people caught up on the education that they missed out on.
I think we should just cut some stuff. Like I learned Latin for a year. I don't think I need
on the scale of this, where all these European countries are spending all this money on children and stuff. The UK came in at the bottom with a pledge of £50 per child.
Well, let me give you some idea. There was, I think it was, is it Rishi Sunak is the Chancellor of the Exchequer? I think that's his name, something like that. Anyway, there was a bill proposed by the Education Czar to catch all the kids up. And it was about, I think it was about a £15 billion sort of bill, right?
Yeah.
And he said no. But he did approve a £25 billion tax cut for big companies. So
well, that's good.
That'll help the
kids.
That's
going to help the kids big
time. There was a good bit of news in the news this week, though, which was that apparently the big countries have got together to agree to actually tax the tax avoiders.
Yeah. This is a bad
people
thing.
Who pay 0%.
Why is it a bad thing for
Well,
Jersey?
Because I'm going to have to probably pay some corporation tax now.
All right, I see.
Although I don't know if it actually applies because I'm a local resident. I don't have like a sister company that's declaring all my profits here. Like right.
But I do feel like the majority of people watching your content are not watching it in Jersey. It's not like your entire Twitch
channel. Nobody wants your dumb opinion on this, okay? No.
You're operating from a tax haven, but you do live there.
I do. Yeah. I legitimately live here, and I pay my tax. I pay my income tax and stuff. Like, come on.
Oh, you do pay something.
You give a guy a break.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting news. The other thing I keep seeing spammed on the front page of Reddit all the time is the Super Stonk. Have you seen the GameStop attitude?
No, what's happened?
So I think basically there's a big community of people on Reddit. It's really interesting because they think that GameStop shares were so heavily shorted.
Wait. We're not running back over the GME thing again because we've definitely talked about this before.
Well, yeah, we are, but I think it's a bit different. So they There's this big community of people who think that the hedge funds and all these big companies have because originally the plan was to short GameStop into the ground, yep. So it would go bankrupt, so they'd never have to pay back or actually buy or cover their shorts, right? They never have to source stock. So what they did was they created all this synthetic stock, if you like, this kind of fake GameStop.
Yeah, there was
stock and
more than existed or some shit, right?
Yeah, and it still is apparently a lot more than existed. And apparently a lot of the shorts who were short have never paid it back. Now, I think what's probably going to happen is they're just going to delay the pain as long as possible. Then when they finally do have to pay it back, they're just going to declare bankruptcy. And they've got all this time to prepare themselves to declare bankruptcy, right? So that's what's going to happen. Because I think they've worked it out that if all the shorts did have to cover now and buy actual shares on the market, that would cause the price to become ludicrous, right? It would go up to millions because it's broken, right? It's a system where there literally aren't enough shares to buy to cover.
Man, every time you say shorts, I think about how many pairs of shorts I own.
How many do you own?
Track shorts, 7-8 pairs.
Do you own more shorts than exist? Do you have any naked shorts?
No. But I do have many pairs of shorts. I got some new ones recently as well.
I need some
really?
New shorts
as well. And they look like they look respectable. They don't look like lazy dad shorts. You know, they look like those ones that people might wear with some penny loafers and a collared shirt. You know. To go yachting in or something like that.
Mm.
But they're still made of track pant material. They just don't look like they are.
Right.
So that's pretty good
too. So anyway,
I'm
going to
order some new shorts on Amazon right now, actually.
Do it, man. Do it.
Do you remember the original sort of massive peak of GameStop when it went up to 300?
I think so.
And then it fell back down to 50. Well, it's back up at 300 again today.
Right.
It's gone up hugely, really. And similar things have happened this week with other very heavily shorted stocks like AMC, which is the cinema chain, BlackBerry. There's another couple that they've been... What are so-called meme stocks, right?
Yeah, companies that used to be big and are not now, right?
And there is this rabid community of people on Reddit who are convinced that this is happening. And it's very convincing, actually, when you read through all of the stuff that they've sort of dug up about how all these companies work and all this dodgy stuff that's going on. And just seeing how... corrupt and it feels like to me Reddit have clearly identified something that is something that has been happening that's illegal and they've taken advantage of it, right? Because this is it feels to me this is something which could break the system, if you like. Do you know what I mean? Because it's this kind of weird thing which exposes some thing that all, basically it turns out that all of the companies who are doing this kind of own the whole system from start to finish. So they're supposed to be separate people who are the market makers, who are the people who make basically do the transactions and create the synthetic shares.
Right.
But it turns out that the hedge funds own those
market. They own their own market maker. They own their own middleman. They own their own company. And they're all called different things, but they're owned by them. And it means that they can just make their own rules. They can do whatever they fucking want. They're
it's
like,
crazy.
Oh, that's nuts.
They're self-regulating as well. So it's like, oh, are we doing this okay? I think we are. It's kind of crazy.
There is a lot of self-regulating industries, especially in America, where they convince politicians that, well, the best people to know if what we're doing is appropriate is us. We know what we're doing. And everyone, and they go, oh, yeah. But of course, they don't just go, oh, yeah. They go, ah, give me a load of money and I'll agree with you. And they do. It is incredible.
Yes.
Can you imagine
it's incredible.
Anything else where you would just self-regulate? I mean, we have independent regulators for a reason. It's ridiculous. It's like It's like having like no police, essentially, and just saying, well, we'll just get the drug dealers to make sure they don't sell and, you know, shoot each other and sell to kids. who knows drug dealers better than drug dealers? Of
course the mafia was great.
Yeah, they
people
knew
are
they
like,
were doing.
Look, people are like, I wish the mafia still ran things.
What was I doing recently where people were actually non-ironically saying that? There was a documentary where people were like, oh, I wish the mafia was still in charge of this industry. Because once all the corporations came in, they ruined it. Well, it's bloody Vegas. It was talking about Vegas.
I'm not being funny, but when the mafia was in charge, a lot of the unions in America were very, very powerful. The Teamsters Union and all those kind of unions the waste disposal unions and like all these unions were all mafia backed. So whilst they were bent as a nine bob note, they were also had a lot more power than they do now. So I'm sure for some people, those are the good old days. Like back when the mafia ran things, they didn't fuck about. It's funny to think of.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a movie called, I think it's called Money Machine or something like that. I watched it on Amazon. It was a bit of a mess, but it wasn't very good. But it was like documentary about the partly about the shooting that happened in Vegas that everyone's forgotten.
Oh God,
about.
No! It's so awful.
That's awful.
But
yeah.
Also about generally Vegas and like the attitude and the sort of commercialization and the whole money machine of the whole structure. But there were a lot of people lamenting how the mafia weren't in charge anymore. Like, you know, when the mafia were running things, at least no one was being killed. And I was like, yes, they were. They were being buried out in the fucking desert.
You just never really didn't hear about it. Yeah, they just disappeared.
I don't know if the mafia generally only kill bad people. Like, do they just kill other mafia, or are they killing
No,
their,
of course not. They
Joe
kill,
the mechanic
they,
as well?
They kill people that they take advantage of for money when they no longer are able to give them the money that they're owed and stuff like that. It escalates to the point where then they get killed. Or it's usually they prey on people who are weak, who have like, you know, vices like gambling addictions,
right,
shit like that, that always need money.
Geographically isolated,
the perfect setup is somebody
things.
Who has those kind of weaknesses but are in charge of something that they can then have an inside guy on hand
to mold things
their way. And then the minute those guys stop paying or become useless to them or whatever, they then kind of have to kill them because it's a loose end, right? It's somebody that knows a bit about how they operate, who they are, who they're affiliated with and stuff. And they just have to get rid of them because they could potentially spill the beans on them.
Agreed.
So spill the
beans is a mafia term as well.
The lesson here is don't borrow money from the mafia. That's it.
Yep.
That's all you got to do. There's just don't borrow money from them. And then
don't
you probably won't be really affected by them. Indirectly, you might be. There's a lot. They still have their hands in a lot of pies. Like, surprisingly, to this day, it's crazy. But direct involvement, if you can avoid it, you probably won't get killed by the mafia. Or your chances
you
of
go.
Getting
Top
killed
tip.
By them are far less.
Sips tips.
Yeah.
Sips tips.
Yeah. Is that still a problem? I don't know. Like, so anyway, I felt like this whole financial... I'm really interested in the financial finagling and all this garbage. I'm not invested in GameStop or any of these things. Or I haven't got any cryptos at all. But it's really interesting just to see this, like, I'm just so interested in it. I guess I've always been interested in, like, the financial crash and stuff like this. I'm just sort of from the outside looking in and, like, just... I'm cheering for these guys, honestly.
Yeah,
you know, if they
it's
can,
hard not to. It's hard not to.
Because they're the underdog as well, right? Like, when these big companies make so much money from just... It just feels like they have all the tools
being
on
shitty.
The inside. You know, they can...
They could trade like outside the market hours. They could just do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can be really
want.
Shitty and then justify it somehow or get away with it. And then if anybody else tries to sort of out hustle them, then they start to get angry. And and then
and the
all
thing
of
is
a sudden,
they've got a lot of power
it's against
because
the law.
But banks, as much as people hate them, they are very important. Like, we do need banking, and we need these things for our economy to function. Like, regardless of what people think, you know, mortgages and business loans and all this is important stuff. The problem is that it's not enough for them to make some money from those things. They want to make as much fucking money as possible every single year, even if that means doing something shitty and bending the rules. And that's the fucking problem. Is they,
and that's where the mafia always fell down as well. Though. It's that human greed that, like, always brings these people down, right? It's like and like just taking risks as well that they think they can get away with, you know?
I'm in a similar situation myself. I got some guys coming in to put some shelves up in the garage, and it started with just one shelf. I asked for one shelf.
Oh, man.
Now I'm getting like seven.
Who did they talk
oh,
you into that?
Shit.
No, I talked myself into it because
did
when
they come round and they were like,
no, he's
you
like,
were like, I'd like a shelf. And they were like, well, how about seven?
Yeah.
And you were like, yes.
No, it wasn't like that at all. It's like, I'd like a shelf. And they're like, yeah, okay, no problem. We can put one here. And then I
and
was
you
like,
liked it
you
so
know what?
Much.
That sounds kind of easy, actually. Let's go for like seven. Like, can you fit seven in this space? And they're like, yeah. So I'm getting like seven shelves.
Interesting.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm the same. Like, when I buy like Warhammer models, I'll be like, I paint one model. I'll be like, oh, I really like this. I'm going to buy 10 more. And it's like, oh, no, now I've got
too many shelves.
Yeah. I went totally overboard on some of these.
Oh, man. Talking of models, this is the nerdiest thing that I watch on YouTube, and I watch a lot of nerdy shit on YouTube. There is a tabletop World War II miniatures game called Bolt Action.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, and, I know about it.
Right, you should not be admitting to this. I mean,
I don't care, dude.
You got
no
a little
shame.
Bit of street cred left. I would try
I don't
to
have any
it.
Street cred. Okay. I watch videos of like an hour and a half long of the full after action report of some skirmish between French fighters and Luftwaffe or Fallschirmjäger or whatever, you know. It's sort of like, I love this game and I love the miniatures and I love World War II stuff. And I'm like, I want to play this game. But the more I look at it, the more I realize I don't know anyone in the area who plays these kind of games. And if there are people in the area that play those kind of games, they're probably going to piss me off. They're going to be super grognardy, nerdy.
I don't know if
weirdos.
Those are kind of people you want to know, really.
Like, exactly. What I'm saying is, game. Lewis, can you buy all the stuff that we need, and then when I come down, we can play.
If you buy a paint an army, I'll paint along with you.
That would
every
be great.
Every model you paint, I'll paint one as well.
That would be great. We could do a vid or a stream or something where I'm going to go for a British forces, and you can be the Nazis. How about
Lewis
that?
Lewis would love that.
Can I be the Soviets?
We never fought the Soviets, so.
Oh.
I mean, it would work. I don't mind. I'm just saying, historically, it's not accurate.
I don't want to do Nazis. They're very black. They're very black uniforms.
Excuse me?
Well, that's the like the sort of
I don't
Gestapo.
Like black.
The regular Wehrmacht and the you know the SS forces wore grey. They didn't wear black, did they? I think you were thinking of the baddie in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. He had a black jacket on.
He was an SS officer, I think.
He was Gestapo.
I could
you,
do
you could do Russians. Right. You know what? It doesn't matter. It'll be like a I fictional
do,
what if.
I just wanted to do some snow bases and like maybe some red flags.
Yeah, do it.
Did I have any red bits on the uniforms, the Russians?
They're just pure red. And they all have to carry a hammer in one hand and a sickle in the other.
like red shirts.
if it was Warhammer, that's what they would be. The Russian soldiers would have a literal hammer and sickle.
I could get some red cloaks and stuff, surely.
I mean, you can have a commissar. You could definitely paint some. You could have a lad carrying a red flag, like Ruskies. The Soviet flag, like that, as part of a unit. Go ahead and look at some of the armies that are available. You'll need to do probably two or three squads of lads. You'll need a vehicle or two, machine gun, mortar.
I'm sure there's
spotters,
a starter set
an officer,
I can buy.
And maybe a fixed emplacement gun like an anti-tank gun or something.
There's
like
these lads I watch on YouTube who have like a video a board game shop in Singapore,
right?
And they play all of these sort of very niche-y tank like tabletop games. And they get about 100. I need to give them a shout out, honestly. I think they're called Blitz Battles on YouTube or something like that. Oh shit, it's not called that. Hang on, let me find a word.
You just shouted out their primary competitor. You're trying to do a nice thing. Damn you,
shit. Their rival.
Damn those Blitz Gaming a-holes.
They keep winning.
They pay their tanks so well. How do they do it?
But yeah, I'm gonna do. You know what? Let's fucking do it, dude. The thing is, I don't have any terrain. Do you guys have, like, terrain?
You can easily make some. Go to, like, a model railway shop. There's got to be one around. Like, that's, yeah, like, very English thing. Yeah, get some little houses, like, those little rubber trees.
But the thing is, I definitely don't have room to store the tiles, like, those foam tiles.
I did a Jurassic World challenge with Lewis one time, and Lewis can probably tell you that I'm pretty good at actually making terrains out of...
Oh, really?
I made a beach out of, like, breadcrumbs and some grass out of some marzipan. And stuff like
I'm gonna order my army right now.
They're called Blitz Minis. There you go, that's who they are.
Bolt Action British Starter Pack
Blitz
Boom.
Minis. There you go.
This comes with look at this, it comes with loads of lads, machine gun, mortar, tank.
My god,
a gun.
Very exciting stuff. Well, I've worked a little bit on, I'm still working on my own version of a tabletop miniatures game, like a generic one.
Oh, yeah,
did a bit of work this week. Felt nice to actually come up with some sort of ideas. I've bought a little hexagon, plastic hexagon stencil, and I'm gonna like spray paint some sheets to try and, I don't know, I've got some plans. It's exciting.
Right.
It's nice to make things for once with my hands. I don't know. I feel like everything I do is digital, so it's nice to do something physical for a bit, even if it's just very briefly.
Do some gardening. I can highly recommend it.
Gardening is very relaxing.
It's really great. Yeah, it's something else. And when the stuff starts growing, oh, Maron, look out. I'm going to have some tomatoes and everything. Yeah.
I was thinking of buying some Ethereum this week, actually.
Yeah.
Just because I heard like there's this thing called Ethereum version 2.
Right.
And they have an unusual like way of like mining the Bitcoin, the Ethereum coins, right? Which is different to how it's been done conventionally. I think it's more like, it's complicated, but
yeah,
it's different. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. And the other thing I saw, which I thought was interesting, is, you know, NBTs, right? You know, we talked about those before. They're like these NFTs, non-fungible tokens.
Yeah, God, they're fucking
tokens.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was thinking, what someone on Superstonk suggested, and this is not a podcast about GameStop, but it's weird.
Yes, it is.
It tickled me and it's weird. And I wondered if anyone had seen it or thought anything about it or whether it's just dumb and it wouldn't work. But there was this idea on, someone posted on there where in order to, basically, because all these people have sold their shorts, right? They don't have the shares. You could issue, the GameStop.
How many pairs are we talking here? Like
loads of shorts. So GameStop could offer a dividend. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that means that everyone who owns a share would get given some money. Now, the hedge funds would have to pay that dividend extra because of their shorts, right? But if you, but that's one option. But option two is you could offer as a dividend a non-fungible token, okay? And that means that these hedge funds wouldn't be able to get hold of those non-fungible tokens. So they would have to sell, they'd have to close their short positions. So that would cause the mother of all short squeezes.
Right.
Which the GameStop people are hoping for, right? The MOASS. The mother of all short squeezes, which I love because it's like such a Call of Duty thing. Anyway, I thought I heard that and it just blew my mind that's the kind of crazy shit that could be done.
I think what's interesting to me is that whatever happens with this GameStop stuff, there is a group of people out there on the internet who are organizing, and their sole motivation, actually, they have two. One of them is to try and make money, but the other one is to fuck over these companies. I think it's really interesting that their biggest driving factor is, can we fuck these guys over?
At the very worst, it'll raise awareness about these exploitative practices that definitely shouldn't be allowed.
Right, but all the like, there was loads of stuff in the press, all the financial guys coming out and saying, oh, these people are ridiculous, all these games are rubbish, and this is all fine, and these poor companies. And I'm thinking, this is people power, man. You know, this is the people stepping out and telling them to fuck off. I'm on their side 100%.
Yeah.
The other thing it feels like is, like, you remember on EVE Online when people would actively seed spies into other guilds to, like,
sounds like EVE,
like fuck them up and steal their guild back. Like, it feels like that's the case here as well. Like, there's so many bots and, like, shills and, like, sneaky insiders, like, all, because it's all public, all this stuff, right? And there's people just have infiltrated the community. So there's this kind of low level of paranoia as well, where, like, every other post is, like, you know, stuff's being, like, very knee-jerk, downvoted if it doesn't toe the party line, right? It's very self-policing to the point where they've become this kind of really amplified echo chamber of weirdness. So yeah, I just think it's so interesting seeing it all happen and watching it from the outside kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, don't just look after yourselves. Treat be careful. I'm not invested and I'm not yeah, involved in this at all.
What scares me when people say, remortgage my house for this, guys, and post a picture of how much they bought, and I just think, please don't do that. Like, if you have the money, that's fine, but please don't do that.
I respect the crazy gambling nature.
I do not.
But my God, the risks they're taking.
Yeah, that's
I've known too
risky.
Many gamblers. Don't do it.
Yeah. Or else we'll come get you and bury you in the desert.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just on the good old
school
days.
Vegas stuff.
When we ran
That's
Vegas.
What the hedge funds are going to start doing. They're going to start
burying
people
in the desert.
Sending in the hitmen, the economic hitmen.
Oof.
Yeah. God, it's only a matter of time before some GameStop investor gets bumped off by a shady. God, I better be careful. I'm gonna get. I'm gonna
you
be
know
made a
too much. I mean, you could be in trouble.
Make an example
too little.
Of Lewis Brindle.
I know way too little.
Target
he
acquired.
He knows too little. We need to take him out.
He knows too little.
This guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I hate this information.
Yeah, me too, boss.
Get rid of him.
Information. Yeah, so a lot of stuff that I've half read and half understood, but I just find it fascinating. Fascinating. All right, that is enough of this podcast. Thank you for listening,
Thank
everyone.
You.
You can
have a great
get
week.
New episodes.
Stay cool.
Sleep with
it's
one eye
hot.
Open, Lewis. It sounds like...
Keep your third eye open. That's right. Plant some flowers, smell a tulip.
Oh,
you know, maybe get a guy to put a shelf up for you.
Boom.
And enjoy yourself. You can follow Triforce on Spotify to get new episodes as soon as they come out every Wednesday. There's a new Pitch Please this Sunday.
What?
Boba is on it. So,
God, what's she going to come up with?
Our sister podcast, Pitch Please. I'm going to have a listen to that. Thank you very much when that comes out. And yeah, take it easy. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.